Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Verses 1 through 10, 1 John chapter 1. Father, we thank You once again for Your word. Thank You for the power and the grace on Your word. And thank You, Lord, for how that Your word is pure light. And as we read and meditate on Your word, as we walk in its power and its grace, more and more Your light, Your grace, Your peace, Your power pour into our hearts, our lives, our whole beings. Empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of Your word, believers committed to reading and studying Your word and living it day by day, and empower us to be bright, shining witnesses wherever we go. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we acknowledge that we deserve to have Your back turned on us, yet You reached out to us through Your Holy Spirit, through Your precious word. We thank You for that stooping down, that loving of people like us. We rejoice in You today, Father. We lift high Your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. A reminder to you, Engage Magazine is a division of the American Family Association that's dedicated to strengthening and building up the generation of young Christian adults who are inheriting the culture war from their parents and grandparents. Through an online publication and a weekly podcast, Engage Magazine hopes to equip young Christians with Bible-enriched information and wisdom. This month, Engage is releasing Volume 5 of the Engage Magazine biannual. In this print edition of Engage Magazine, it includes M.D. Perkins, Laura Perry, Wesley Wyman, and others as they explore how we are created in the image of God and how the fallen world around us wages war on it. There's a struggle on many fronts, including issues such as sexual identity, homosexuality, biblical masculinity and femininity, as well as the Christian's efforts to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. To sign up for the magazine, go to engagemagazine.net. Again, that's engagemagazine.net, and click the magazine tab. Also, just a reminder to you as well, the American Family Association invites you to join lots of Americans in a day of prayer and appreciation for law enforcement this Sunday, June the 13th. This is our opportunity to show respect and appreciation toward those who bravely serve and protect our families. Too many times they're taken for granted. Let them know that you believe in the importance of their work. Here are some of the things that you can do to show support for local law enforcement. The next time you see police officers in a restaurant, choose to invite to the opportunity to pay for their lunch. Let them know you're praying for them. Have a few personal handwritten notes that you can hand to them as well. But those are just a few of the things you can do. But visit afa.net for helpful resources. And please add your name to thousands of others that are committed to praying for our law enforcement officers. Again, this special day, Sunday, June the 13th. Hope you'll be involved and get involved with this important way to show appreciation for our law enforcement in our local communities. We are blessed and honored to have with us in studio Landry Ritter. Landry And there goes Pete. Pete's excited, though. He's our resident puppy dog. He gets excited when, especially when young folks come into the studio. We have a project going on called the Ten Commandments Project. And it's a project where it's in a bold discipleship project for young people and youth to get involved with. And one aspect of the project is where we're inviting young people to write a speech on one of the Ten Commandments and make a videotape of it and send it in to us. And if you're a regular listener, you've heard a number of the speeches young people have sent in to us so far. And as you may have noticed, all of them are outstanding speeches. And we're going to have another outstanding speech from Landry as well. But Landry, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. And we're going to start right off by just letting you go ahead and share your speech. And then we're going to talk about it and some related things afterward. But this is Landry Ritter. He's going to share his Ten Commandments speech at this time.
Yes, sir. Exodus 20, verse 4 states, "Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth." We as humans have a built-in desire to worship something or someone. Your identity will then be tied to whatever you worship as number one in your life. Humans will worship. It's one of the characteristics God gave us when He created us. Whether it's Baal, Muhammad, or that sports team, that game, or that hobby. Another popular god people worship is themselves. They do whatever it is that pleases them the most, no matter what it does to other people. That is humanism in its simplest form. Now when chapter 20, verse 4 says idol, it is not strictly talking about an obscene statue with large lips. It is simply talking about a trade. The trade is the omnipotent, merciful, and loving God who loves you enough to send His one and only Son to the cross so that you could have an eternal relationship with you. You take that and practically throw it in the garbage for something as little as a sport, a game, or a hobby. So in other words, the sports team, the hobby, or the game is what is in control of you. So when your team loses, it takes your world with it. Then you're left with a bunch of brokenness and shattered pieces. But that's where grace comes in. For in 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Bible says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I'll most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me.'" 2 Corinthians 12:19. It doesn't matter how far gone you think you are not too far gone for Christ. That is a temptation that Satan loves to use on people. If you have fallen into this trap Satan has set, now is the time to rise up. God's love is chain-breaking if you'll put your trust in Him. You trade away You trade away God for something else every time you idolize something over God. You claim that thing that you have idolized over the Creator of the universe who loves you and wants a relationship with you. It doesn't make sense why anyone would want that. You substitute an idol in place of where God should be. In other words, another name for an idol is a God substitute. Let me warn you, that is not a fair trade. In fact, it is not even close to fair. Sadly, Satan tries his best to deceive people into thinking it is a fair trade, and many people do fall into that trap. Satan isn't smart. He has just been around people for a while. An idol can be made out of anything, even serving the Lord to the point where you're no longer sharing God's word to win a brother, but to evangelize more people than someone else. Satan will do anything and everything in his power to make you believe that idols have exceptions. I'll give you a handful right now. Staying up late playing a video game could be an idol because then you aren't getting enough sleep, and when you wake up, you're tired and spend your quiet time asleep. Here's another one. How about, "I'll wait till I'm adult to read the Bible"? Why would anyone want to wait until they are an adult to talk to the Creator of the universe who loves you enough to send his own son to die for you? It is very likely then that God is not number one in your life. If God was truly number one in your life, the issue would not be trying to talk to Him. The issue would be trying to stop talking to Him. A very common excuse is, "I don't have time to read the Bible." That doesn't hold water. You have time for what you want to have time for. If that means going to bed early so you aren't tired, then go to bed early. Let's keep it real here. Idols are not that hard to come by in America these days. We as Americans take lots of things as idols and have branched away from the path that leads to the narrow gate, but rather we are heading on the path that leads to the wide gate, which leads to destruction. America is not a godly place just because we have "In God We Trust" on all our coins. There are a lot of broken people in America in need of a Savior and in need of someone to tell them about that Savior. Then a lot of times we as Christians get mad at God because he hasn't sent anyone to go and tell this broken world about him. Well, I want you to know that he has. He created me and you. If it's not us, then who will it be? God is looking for someone to bless, someone to extend his lavish blessings upon, someone that will accomplish his will. The question is not will his will be accomplished. The question is will you be a part of it? God is not dependent on you to help him be God. He is independent. He has no need of anything outside of himself. Look at Exodus 3:14 as an example. But God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. We as humans are not independent beings. Unlike God, we have a need for food, water, sleep, and oxygen. We need God, but God does not need us. I hope and pray that I have clearly conveyed what the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to speak about.
All right. Thank you, Landry. Now, did you pay $50-$60 to a professional speech writer to write that speech for you?
No, sir.
No? Who wrote that speech?
Me.
You wrote it. Okay, well, very good, very good. We know, Landry, in this project, we invite young people to write the speech, but also sometimes some young people may want to ask their dad or mom or someone to help, which is fine. And sometimes some may ask for someone to do a speech for them, but, well, of course, when they practice it, it's still going to minister to them as well. But I appreciate the fact that you took the time to put together a speech like that because it says a lot about what's in your heart. So thank you again for doing that. What motivated you to write this speech?
Well, Reed had been doing his persuasive speech, and I thought it was really cool. And I was like, I want to do that. And I'd been thinking about writing a speech just because, and I was like, well, then you came up and you said there's this Ten Commandments speech coming out. I was like, well, this is perfect. I'll do it on this. And
a great opportunity to do it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we appreciate you did. Again, that was outstanding speech. Appreciate that. And a great message. You have a lot to share, not just to young people, but that was a good message for anyone, adult or youth, to hear as well. Tell me, as a 13-year-old boy, what does being a disciple of Christ look like in your everyday life?
Well, the definition of being a disciple of Christ is a disciple of Christ is one who makes Jesus Christ Lord of his or her life. Then once you become a disciple, your first commitment is to deny yourself. That means your identity is in Christ and in Christ alone, and you reject the self-centered life. Jesus, when he called the disciples, he said, you must deny yourself. Denying yourself could mean anything. It could mean going to bed early so that you're not staying up late playing video games. Denying yourself could be as simple as sharing with your siblings. Now, in my everyday life, for me, what does it look like? In my everyday life, it's pray, read, and memorize. Praying for me, prayer, I have a prayer list and I have an answered prayer list. I'll pray for something, I'll put it on my prayer list, and then once God answers it, it goes on the answered prayer list. Mm-hmm. And then for me reading the Bible, at the beginning, I pray Psalm 119:34, give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart, asking God to show me something. And then once he does, I'll write it down and my journal. And then memorizing, I like to listen to it on the audio clip. So I'll play it it's normally doing my schoolwork. Mm-hmm. I'll play the audio clip. Either that or I'll just read it over and over. Normally I read it about 100 times until I memorize it. So
That's good. Now, my understanding is you've memorized the book of James. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on a break, and on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask you to quote the first chapter. We don't have time this side of the break, but can you do that for us on the other side of the break?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, our guest today in studio is Landry Ritter. He's one of the speech contestants with the Ten Commandments Project, and so he's sharing from his heart on a few other matters as well. So we'll be right back on the other side of this break.
So caught up that I exhausted all my ways, all my ways, and all the noise begins to fade. It's you, then everything else just falls in line. You, you will always hold this heart of mine. It's you, it's you, Lord, it's you, then everything else just falls in line.
Music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Landry Ritter. He's one of the speech contestants in the Ten Commandments Project, and he just shared a few moments ago a powerful speech that he wrote himself about one of the commandments. And so, again, Landry, in this segment, before we get to you sharing from the book of James, what are some of your favorite Bible verses?
Well, one of them is 2 Corinthians 12:9, and mm-hmm. I used it in my speech. The Bible says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me.'" I like that verse because it doesn't matter how far you've gone. Like, it, God's grace is sufficient. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, God's grace is sufficient for it. That's why I really like that verse. Another verse that I like is 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." When I'm afraid or discouraged, I just say that verse in my head, and it just calms me. I really like that verse. So those are two of my favorite verses.
That's good. That's good. Now, who is your favorite music artist?
I like Matthew West. He's got some really good songs. And the reason I like him is he's got a couple songs. One of them is Grace Upon Grace. Mm-hmm. And like I shared earlier, it doesn't matter how far you've gone, God's grace will still find you. It says wave upon wave, grace upon grace. That's what I really like about that song. Another song I like is Hello, My Name Is. And in that song, it talks about how they will call you what they want to call you, but it doesn't change the fact of what your true name is in Christ. God has given you a name. The world will give you one, and God will give you one. And it talks about how God's name, the world doesn't care about you. I mean, the world wants to chew you up and spit you out. But God does, talks about the names that the world will give you, and that's, doesn't matter. It's God's name that matters.
You're exactly right. Amen. Okay, so at this time, I'm going to ask you, you've memorized the whole book of James. We're not going to make you do the whole book today, although we could, but you're going to go ahead and share James chapter 1.
Okay. "James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways. The brother of humble circumstances should boast in his exaltation, but the one who is rich should boast in his humiliation, because he will pass away like a flower of the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and dries up the grass. Its flower falls off, but its beautiful appearance is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will wither away while pursuing his activities. A man who endures trials is blessed, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. No one undergoing a trial should say, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dearly loved brothers. Every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. By his own choice he gave us a new birth by the message of truth, so we could be the first fruits of his creatures. My dearly loved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all mortal filth and evil, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save you. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom, and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works, this person should be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, then his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world.
Amen. Amen. Landry, you have inspired me. I tell you, you inspired me big time. That's great. That's great. Okay. Hearing from the animal chorus there, too, they were inspired as well. That was good. Now, to our listeners, again, Landry quoted that without looking at his Bible. He's memorized it just like he said. So praise the Lord for that. Now, question, Landry, how has memorizing the book of James helped you in your walk with Christ?
Well, I'm not immune to Satan's temptations. He tempts me, too. And if I'm tempted to be prideful, James 4:6, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. If I'm tempted to show favoritism, James 2:1, my brothers, do not show favoritism as you hold on to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. There are others, but for the sake of time, I won't list all of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, again, Landry, thank you so much for coming today, and I appreciate the speech. Now, I'm gonna lay out a challenge to you. Now, and this is for you to decide, think, and pray about. But consider writing another speech on one of the other commandments as well. And submitting it as well. Now, that's up to you, because we have this one, and we appreciate that. But keep in mind, I want to say this, and of course, I know some of your siblings are going to be sharing speeches as well, and we'll look forward to receiving those as well. The speeches are not just about the contest. One of the goals is that these would be speeches submitted from the hearts and shared from the hearts of young people that will bless a lot of other young people and touch the world as well. Because remember this, it's not just young people hearing your speeches. It's a lot of adults who need to hear them as well. And truth is what sets people free. Truth blesses people. It edifies people. It draws people to Christ. And Christ is the truth. And so when you're sharing your speech, you're sharing the wisdom of Christ. So just think about it. But again, if you decide the one that you sent is all you're going to do, fine. But if you do decide you want to do an excellent one, another one, I invite you to come back and share that one too, okay?
Yes,
but we'll look forward to all you and the rest of your siblings coming and sharing, because again, you already have blessed a lot of people, okay? So thank you so much for coming today, Landry, okay?
Okay.
All right. So what a blessing it has been to have Landry sharing his speech and sharing from his heart as well. So we praise God for all the young people that have participated so far in the Ten Commandments Project. And again, if you're interested in getting more information about it and you'd like to help get your children, grandchildren, or young people that you know involved, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to send you the information and glad to help you get whatever information you need to help them get involved. Hope you'll do that. And my number is 662-844-5036, extension 381. Again, either email us or get us and get in touch with us, and we're glad to help you plug in your young people with this exciting discipleship project, the Ten Commandments Project Speech Project in particular. We continue now, as we do, we're going to, for the balance of the broadcast, be reading through the Word of God. We pick up now in the book of 1 Kings chapter 16, starting at verse 8. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, became king over Israel and reigned 2 years in Tirzah. Now his servant Zimri, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. Then it came to pass, when he began to reign, as soon as he was seated on his throne, that he killed all the household of Baasha. He did not leave him one male, neither of his relatives nor of his friends. Thus Zimri destroyed all the household of Baasha, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they had sinned, and by which they had made Israel sin in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now, the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri had reigned in Tirzah 7 days, and the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. Now the people who were encamped heard it said, Zimri has conspired and also has killed the king. So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel, that day in the camp. Then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. And it happened, when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died, because of the sins which he had committed in doing the evil in the sight of the Lord, walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he had committed to make Israel sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and the treason he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibni, the son of Gibnath. So Tibni died, and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah, and he bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver. Then he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built Samaria, after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill. Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all who were before him. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin by which he made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and the might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab his son reigned in his place. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub, he set up its gates, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, There shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Verses 1 through 12, 1 Kings chapter 17. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we continue reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Planet Shakers, Only Way, reminding you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation and eternal life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We continue reading through the Word of God as we pick up now in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 in the New Testament. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the Son and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart. As to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. End of the book of Ephesians. The book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Verses 1 through 6, Philippians chapter 1. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God for the balance of the broadcast here, as we normally do. Near this point, near the end of the broadcast, we'd like to invite you. There may be someone listening who's never made the extremely important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. The single most important decision in all of life is making that decision to place your life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to be saved and to give your life to the Lord today, we invite you to pray this prayer with me. Or if you wish to just recommit your heart to the Lord, would you pray this prayer with us at this time as well? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me with an everlasting love. Thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I do confess. Lord, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways, Lord. I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd really like to be in touch with you. Again, jparker@afa.net. Or if you're one who just recommitted your life to the Lord, praise God for that as well. We invite you to get in touch with us so that we can share with you some discipleship materials to help you to grow strong and grow stronger in your walk with the Lord. Hope you'll do that. And if you're wanting more information about the Ten Commandments Project, again, same email, jparker@afa.net. A bold discipleship project to help our young people come to know Christ and help them to learn to walk with Him as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.